Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, John Yates with Abo Empire.
Abo, right?
Abo Empire.
Abo Empire. I'm still new to that formation. I'm still new to that one. The formation Abo. I haven't done much reporting on that, so this is good. I'm glad I'm getting to know more about it. Also, Daniel Fine with the Center for Energy Policy, New Mexico Center for Energy Policy, winding down the interview here at the third annual Bakken Conference. And wanted to ask you, kind of the global versus the domestic supply. Okay, so we've got a lot of infrastructure happening. You know, you look at natural gas prices in the United States, I don't know, $3 or something like that. I don't know, in Asia about $8, probably $13-$15 over in Great Britain. Disparity is what I'm getting at. Asia's middle class is growing. So is the India's middle class. So we're seeing a surge of a demand for a global supply of oil and oil-based products, whether it be agriculture or plastics. What do you see for a global and domestic demand and supply over the next several years?
Let me review what's out there right now. The forecast from the environmental side is demand is falling rapidly for oil. The projection is that we'll be in a demand crisis by 2025. The Saudi vision of all this, Saudi Arabia, is no more than 1% worldwide per year demand increase, and they intend to capture that. My view of this is that it's a fuel choice. And unless electric cars replace essentially the fuel of choice, the historic fuel, which has been oil and gasoline, and that takes place, there'll be no disruption. Oil will be with us as the choice fuel because of the consumption in transportation until 2040. I would look 2040 maybe in terms of electric and batteries. So my reading of it is renewable alternative fuels don't really exist. They exist for not as fuels, they exist in power, electric power as an alternative to coal. Once you run out of coal, substitution by way of wind and solar, they will have some problems. So my view of this is slow demand. We're not going up to a crisis. Why? Of supply. Because of our reserves. 275 billion barrels here in the United States, plus Canada. And that's why we take a position. The future, whether we design it in policy, inevitably we're going to be self-sufficient. Trump understands this. His people like Zinke around him and his EPA director, they understand we're on the cusp now of self-sufficiency. Here's a question you didn't ask, but let me go ahead.
Okay.
What about the Navy of the United States? What about 6 aircraft carriers out there? 6 aircraft carriers, world leadership in the world oceans, 5 oceans and seas. What have they been doing, and why have we put up a defense of world oil to keep the flow of world oil? One analyst said between 1976 and 2007, we spent $1.3 trillion defending, with our leadership in the world, defending other oil producers. Keeping, quote, the flow of world oil is our responsibility. What happens when we're self-sufficient? What does the public think about that expenditure? And what does the Navy, what is the strategy for an event like that? So my reading of it is this will change. as we get closer to self-sufficiency and a North American market, where, as John said, as a producer, he'll wake up every morning and the price will be stable. He can plan. It will not be a shock to him at 6 a.m. of what Singapore has set as the price, or an event in the Middle East. We move away from that. And that takes us back to Boone Pickens, who's thinking out what happens. You know, he's been around oil a mm-hmm. long time, and he's trying to work out a program in a period where he can make money when we're self-sufficient. So my reading of it is essentially that we're about to change, and all the deregulation that we're going through will increase our output. It will be incentivizing our refineries to finally develop the capacity to do without heavy crude, certainly over oceans, and that little heavy crude that we need for our refineries can come from Canada. Mm-hmm. That's the block and market of North America.
That's all I got, gentlemen. You got anything else?
I only want to say that one of the initiatives that the Trump administration is planning on implementing is trying to open up federal lands to development more in a greater way. For the last 10 years, we basically, as an industry, have been handcuffed from operating on federal lands for the most part. Terrible restrictions, terrible regulations, just a huge amount of paperwork to just even get a well drilled. And now, hopefully, there will be a new day and federal lands will be opened up so that we can develop that federal resource. Most of this last 10 years of the rapid increase in the amount of oil and natural gas that we've found and freed up in the U.S. has been found on private surface, private minerals underneath the surface, or state minerals underneath the surface. So without much help from the federal government, there's been very little exploitation of the federal leases. And so now that may change, and that will free up a whole host mm-hmm. of new opportunities.
I want to add one more thing to take a look at what we're doing. We have a small grassroots movement in Texas and New Mexico called PIRI, P-I-R-I. It's on your websites. That's the Panhandle Initiative to Reduce Imports. And this group, again, grassroots, small independent producers, is looking at possibly unfair trade and citing it alongside steel and aluminum because of what happened in 14 to 17 with OPEC trying to put us out of business.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Yates from Abo Empire, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We're going through a social media campaign right now, trying to pick up as many Facebook followers as we can. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Check us out on Facebook. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
The Oil Field Report listens to the oil patch and delivers powerful interviews and stories that roughnecks, CEOs, safety compliance officers, and leaders in oil and gas trust and value. The Oil Field Report's vision is to be the oil field's most centric online source to build a place where the oil patch can come and get informed and get heard. The Oil Field Report. Check them out online at oilfieldreport.com. That's oilfieldreport.com. Be sure to join their Facebook page, YouTube channel, and other social media outlets. Because at the Oil Field Report, interviews just don't start a conversation, they drive a conversation. Oilfieldreport.com. That's oilfieldreport.com.